T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, I can verify that I am definitely not Mark Sturgis. Let's just get that out of the way right off the jump. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. I believe he's on a boat somewhere out in the...
When isn't he on a boat?
Somewhere southeast of Fiji. I mean, we probably need to check on old Sturgis, make sure he's all right. Haven't heard from him in a couple of days, but he is off today. So I will be sitting in today for the next 3 hours till 7 o'clock. Also with me today, we will have my good friend, Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast and podcast Sports and Culture that he does once a month now. Is that right, TB?
Yep, just once a month.
Once a month. Sometimes, most of the times I jump on it with him. I wasn't able to be on with him the last time.
And look, I want to say something about him.
Shoot.
I don't like the NBA. I think that's been, I think I've stated that numerous times on this show. I can't get enough of what's going on in free agency. And Tyler has been on the pulse of everything NBA the past 2 months, with everything that happened with Durant, with the free agency. He has been on point with everything.
Yeah, and we're going to jump into that. If you want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776, or hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. And I got to start out. We got a jam-packed show for you. This is a post-Euphoria July 4th. That's the only way I know how to do it. How's everybody doing out there after yesterday's July 4th? I don't know what was more explosive. This has been a crazy week in sports. I felt like I've been on the PGA Tour because I've played golf almost every day this week, won a lot of money, won some more money this morning. Me and our head coach up at Blue Ridge, James Turn, won the match on the last hole on a 3-foot putt. Think about that.
Clutch.
And here's the thing. His brother, Ryan Turn, if you're listening, you're up next, buddy. You're up next to get taken out. Because me and your brother are calling you out on the carpet. We want you. You're next up in the crosshairs. But we had a great time this morning, had a great time the last 2 days. How's your July 4th been? Call in and let us know. There's some sad news to get to that I want to get out of the way. Of course, baseball fans are dealing with the sudden and tragic death of Tyler Skaggs, pitcher, for the Los Angeles Angels. I don't think they have decided what that or have ruled what caused that tragedy. Young man, 27 years old. I know the Angels are trying to deal with that the best that they could. Also, you know, college football fans lost a very dear person. And Jared Lorenzen, the hefty lefty, the former quarterback of the Kentucky Wildcats, tragically passed away at the age of 38. And I know Jared had struggled with some health issues, some weight issues. And it when I saw that it was released, that he had passed away, that hurt my heart. As it does when anybody that goes and goes too young. I mean, you never want to lose anybody, but you especially don't ever want to lose anybody when they're in the prime of their life. And we just want to reach out to both Tyler Skaggs as well as Jared Lorenzen's family. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. I hope everybody out there had a safe and enjoyable July 4th. I know it was pretty explosive. Tyler and I are going to jump in that. You know, how is it that on the greatest holiday in our country. I know everybody points to Christmas. But really, the greatest holiday in America is July 4th. It's our birthday. Because 243 years ago, several people decided, hey, we want to do our own thing. We don't want to be tied down to a country 3,000 miles away that doesn't even know what we are doing over here. So let's try to do something different. Now, does that mean that our country's been perfect? Absolutely not. There's no such thing. But I'll take what we've got going on over anybody else any day of the week. I can promise you that.
I don't have any complaints. Like, I think I'm good right now.
I mean, and I got to throw this out there. I saw a poll that somebody put out there about July 4th about this being, I think only 40% of Americans were proud to be an American. I'm like, are you people insane? There are people literally dying to come into this country, and you're not proud to be an American? Are you serious?
Who did they poll, though? Like, what's the age group?
Well, you know what? It's probably a focus group.
Okay.
That they did that because
that makes a difference. You know,
it does.
You poll a lot of millennials, you know, you might get a different answer there, Coach.
And you know what? I'm glad you mentioned millennials because Jason Whitlock
is not a millennial.
He has got some very strong feelings regarding millennials. And we're going to discuss that. And I'm actually going to play you a clip in the next segment because also with sports, we're going to talk Clemson football. We're going to talk South Carolina football. The Gamecocks got some outstanding recruiting information or recruiting commits over the last several days. Man, just when I think Will Muschamp can't do anything more, boom, he gets three or four more commits that you're like, how did he pull that off? And then, of course, the big fish that is still out there is the number one player, not only in the state of South Carolina, but the number one player in the country, and Adrian Burch out of the Hammond School in Columbia that hasn't made his decision. Everything that I've heard, it's down between, it's literally South Carolina and Clemson, and right now it's about 50-50. If you talk to Clemson people, they'll tell you he's coming to Clemson. You talk to Carolina people, they're going to tell you he's coming to Carolina. So right now, literally nobody knows what the heck this young man's going to do. But without question, both the in-state schools are flat getting it done on the recruiting trail. Clemson, obviously the number one team, number one recruiting class in the country going into 2020, as well as the last I saw, the Gamecocks were at 9, 8 in the top 10, and they might be moving up depending on how that goes out. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about some NFL. I'm going to pose this question that TB and I are going to answer later on. Which NFL team is under the most pressure heading into this year? Which NFL team is under the most pressure to not just win, but get to a Super Bowl this coming football season? I've got one that jumps out to me. We're going to discuss that later on as well. You want to join the discussion, 844-477-3776. Hit us up on the Health Dare text line. Text ESPN to 71307. We're also going to talk a lot of NBA news. I mean, the NBA offseason has not disappointed at all. My main man, Tyler Butler, has been at the tip of the spear on all of that stuff. Look, don't get it twisted. Stop listening to First Take. Stop listening to Colin Cowherd. Stop listening to all of these so-called Brian Windhorst. Forget those guys. Okay? If you want to know what's going on in the NBA from an insider standpoint, you need to follow Tyler Butler at My Sports and Culture of the PS podcast, because literally every news that has been broken, he has done it first. And it hasn't even been close.
At least a week ahead of time.
At least a week ahead of time. And now I find it funny. Everybody's jumping on your boy Michael Jordan about the way he's been running the Hornets. Correct me if I'm wrong, TB, but isn't there somebody within this room that's been smashing Jordan and that He's been a phenomenal player, Hall of Fame player, scrub as a front office GM.
Yeah, you got on him about good 2 months ago.
And now everybody's wanting to know what the heck he needs to do. We're going to jump into that. You want to talk to Tyler? By all means, call in 844-477-3776. I hope everybody had a great July 4th. It kind of got dampened a little bit, literally, last night as the rains came. You know, for me, my family that came in from Boston, oh, I'm still trying to recover from that Stanley Cup. What a catastrophe in Game 7 of all the times. Now, you know, Patrick Brown over here, you know what? I love Patrick because Patrick just told me I'm number one twice. And so I've got to appreciate that from Patrick. But my Bruins, what a stink bomb they laid in a Game 7 at home to get blown out. I've been depressed for over a week.
A week? It's been longer than a week.
Well, see, just when I started to get over them, the Red Sox, when I think they couldn't sink even further, guess what they lose? They lose to the Yankees over in London on a women's softball field.
Pretty much, yeah.
I mean, that's what it was. I mean, the farthest the fence was like, what, 250 feet? I mean, those knuckleheads were hitting pop-ups that were going out.
The only reason I gave you that salute, and fittingly so, is because that's the one time I predicted something that beat you. Okay? Ever since you were, you know, on the huddle, every show like that, every time me and you would get into a prediction battle, you would win. This was my one victory, okay? The St. Louis Blues beat your Boston Bruins. I'm sorry that Boston did not get another cup to add to their collection. Sorry you're going to have to wait more than 200 days for another title, maybe. It's fine. Everything's going to be okay. Okay, let St. Louis have this one.
No, because I don't like St. Louis.
And that's fair. I don't like the Blues, but I was rooting for them against the Bruins.
Well, from that perspective, and look, I will say this. You called that series right. I was wrong. I've got to eat that because when we did the show on Memorial Day, mm-hmm. prior to the Stanley Cup, you and I gave our predictions. You predicted the Blues in six.
Mm-hmm.
We would not be. I predicted the Bruins in six, but both of us said we wouldn't be shocked if it went seven. We got exactly that. I did not believe that St. Louis would be able to defend the way they were. And the way that their goal was able to defend their goal, he had like 19 stops.
In the first period.
In the first period. And I even tweeted out, Boston's in trouble. Because they literally had in the first 5 minutes, seven shots on goal and got zero. You've at least got to get one.
And there were seven quality opportunities, too.
Yes, they were not bad shots.
They weren't just shots to throw it up and let's see if we can make a puck around the net. They beat the Blues outright, had a chance to score, could not come up with it. And it, to me, that just speaks volume. On a rookie goaltender in a Game 7 in a hostile territory to just come out and say, I got this.
And they nailed it. And then after that, they scored and then scored again, and then they got demoralizing, and then they did what a championship team is supposed to do. They put their foot on their throat, and they ended it by skunking them. I think the final score was 4-0. I turned it off. When it got 2-0, I'm
like, 4-1.
This thing's done. So Boston got basically a scrub touchdown late in the game, and the Blues, congratulations. I want to jump off a bridge now. That being said, the one thing that did help out, you know, of course, everybody knows that I'm coaching up at Blue Ridge High School. I could not be more proud of our football team this summer. We went to 4 7-on-7 tournaments, won 14 games against some of the best competition, not just in the South, but in the Southeast. We were up at the University of Tennessee, and we faced six state champions that had seven D1 athletes that our kids were competing as. We won four up there. And then when the 7-on-7 season was over, we had won 14 total. And then the icing on the cake was our offensive and defensive line winning the Palmetto State Showdown over at Burns last week.
That's awesome.
Against the best teams in the state of South Carolina, against 5A competition. And that's not a testament to me. That's a testament to our kids and the work ethic and the type of will that they have had over this summer. They have flat been killing it in the weight room, and I'm so proud of those kids. I'm excited about the 2019 season coming up. Hey, the only thing left is August 23rd. Right now, we're 50-something days out. College football starts in 58 days.
Yeah. Side note. I have breaking news about Kawhi Leonard.
Uh-oh, where's he going? Here we go.
I just got word. And I just had to confirm it, but we won't hear anything today. His camp just put out they are not making a decision today, but as I was saying all the time on Twitter and my Facebook page, I thought it was going to be a short-term deal because that's what they were discussing last year. I was told that he does not want to sign a 1 or 2 year deal. He wants to sign a long-term deal. So we're looking at 4 or 5, either the Supermax with Toronto or the 4 year deal with the Lakers, but we will not find out today.
So now it's down to a two-horse race between Toronto and the Lakers. The Clippers completely out.
From what I heard and what everybody seems to be saying, the Clippers were eliminated a couple of days ago.
Well, we're going to discuss that. We'll talk about which side he could potentially lean on, as well as Jason Whitlock flat taking it after Colin Kaepernick in this flag issue. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Yes, welcome back to this Friday, July 5th, post-July 4th recovery. I got to admit, I like having a holiday on Thursday and then having Friday, Saturday, and Sunday to recover. Every holiday needs to be like that.
They need to do that with the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl needs to be a holiday. Yeah, everybody needs to be off the day of and the day after the Super Bowl.
I agree.
I am totally sold on that. It needs to happen. Got to happen. Got to make it happen. And we will definitely do that. Okay, well, one thing coming out of the July 4th thing, okay? Obviously, one of the headliners coming out was the Colin Kaepernick situation and the Nike shoes and the Betsy Ross flag. Well, apparently, Jason Whitlock has created a firestorm because of his criticism, not only of Colin Kaepernick, but also of Colin Kaepernick's followers. Here's the first part of Jason Whitlock.
Kaepernicks were out in full force yesterday. Kaepernicks are people who can't get out of Twitter's sunken place. That illogical, brainwashed place where Colin Kaepernick is the modern day Nelson Mandela. Kaepernick's gush about how well-spoken and thoughtful Kaepernick is, even though Kaepernick rarely speaks and communicates mostly through retweets of divisive political commentary. The Kaepernicks were absolutely mortified that Michael Vick had the audacity to politely ask Black Tebow to cut his hair and present a business-like appearance. Black men in suits, ties, and with short haircuts were all over TV yesterday blasting Vic for gently pushing Kaepernick to dress for success. ESPN's Damian Woody, while wearing a suit, tie, and short haircut, called Vic's advice preposterous. And then Woody and former NFL running back Thomas Jones had the nerve to come at the king over Twitter, with Jones calling me a coward. My name was on the Twitter streets. Big mistake. Woody Jones, you ain't ready for these journalism corners. I've been out in these streets since 1990. I've been out here longer than Desus and Merrill been alive. These two Kaepernicks have a TV show on Vice, and they tried to trash me and Vic. Take a listen.
Jason Whitlock invited him, like, yo, come ruin your legs.
Yo, come here, come.
I think he needs to speak for himself.
I think he really does. First thing we got to get Colin to do is cut his hair.
All right. Okay. My man, you played like with this, straight backs like for this, like 40 years.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Come on, Ron Mexico.
All right. Come on. Also, when you cut your hair, they didn't accept you then. Like,
come on, fam.
Anytime you find yourself agreeing with Jason Whitlock,
no.
Unless you're at a buffet, no.
I got to be honest. I like these dudes. They're funny. But they're dead wrong about Vic's advice. Black millennials think the older generation is obsessed with how random white people view us. We're not. Being professional, dressing professional, isn't about how we're perceived by white people. It's about how we feel about ourselves. And finally, let me address Charlemagne the God. This Kaepernick is actually dangerous. He thinks he's smart.
And my lawyer at the time told me verbatim, you have to cut your hair. You have to go get a job. When you come to court, you have to wear a suit, okay, or a button-up. Don't come in here in no T-shirt and jeans and all white Air Force Ones. You have to look presentable in front of the judge. So Michael Vick's advice is actually great for actual criminals who are going to be facing the judge for their various charges in the future.
Look, Colin Kaepernick works in an industry controlled by white businessmen. He plays the highest profile, most important position in all of sports. Kaepernick took a strong stand on one of the most polarizing issues in American history. Given those dynamics, if Cap wants to be taken seriously and affect real change, he should project a more professional image with his appearance. If he's seeking Twitter fame and the adulation of Kaepernicks, he should keep the afro and continue tweeting his way to freedom.
All right, let's digest that episode because TB about fell out of his chair, especially when they started talking about haircuts.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Now, let me just say this, okay, in defense of Jason Whitlock. This is not a racial thing. And let me say this, because here's my point of why. Dressing nice and professional. Okay, I'm a white guy, and if I was going to interview for a job with Robert Johnson, the owner of BET, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to wear a suit and tie. I'm going to make sure that my hair's cut. I'm going to make sure I look like I'm getting ready to be worth the $100,000 contract that I'm interviewing for. That has nothing to do. It does have something to do with color, but it's not black and white. It's green. It's green. It's how can I get my paper up? And I think it's hysterical that now, because TB, you said something before we came on air that I thought was awesome. Vic and Whitlock don't necessarily like each other. Well, now they're on the same team.
Well, and just to clarify, that soundbite and actually what Michael Vick said was actually from 2017.
Right.
And since then, he's retracted what he said. He actually apologized and said, Michael Vick, he's like, what I said, I should have never have. I think it was taken out of context. Basically, by no means should I have said what I have said. But as far as the afro and looking the part, let's make one thing perfectly clear here. He's not applying for Google. He's not getting a job at Apple. He's auditioning for an NFL team. They could give two craps about how many tattoos or what your hair look like. It's all about how can you produce for me on the field. How you look is irrelevant. As a matter of fact, in sports, how you look could make you more money because it's marketable.
Right.
A la Anthony Davis with that stupid-looking one eyebrow. But you
Which
know what
he's marketed
called?
Now.
He's called the brow.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you look like in sports. Can you play is the only thing that matters. So that argument to me was absolutely irrelevant because he's not applying for a corporate job. He's trying to get a job in the NFL. And if you don't have enough talent, then guess what? You're going to be unemployed and a free agent. But if you do, you can play. Nobody gives a crap about what your hair looks like.
Yeah, and that clip was also a response from Jason Whitlock over the comments that he had made concerning Colin Kaepernick and his stance on the Betsy Ross Nike shoes that Nike then went back and retracted, and that clip is now.
I want to announce my new strategy as it relates to Colin Kaepernick.
After today, I'm going to do my level best to ignore Cap and avoid commenting on his foolishness. Yesterday, the Wall Street Journal reported that Nike nixed plans to sell a shoe that celebrated the 4th of July holiday with the Betsy Ross 13-star flag on its heel. The flag was created during the American Revolution. Nike canceled the Air Max 1 USA because Kaepernick allegedly complained the flag was offensive to black people. Now, I'm 52 years old. Yesterday was the first time I'd heard that the Betsy Ross flag was offensive. Before yesterday, I would have paid absolutely zero attention to the Betsy Ross flag or the Air Max 1 USA. I would have simply celebrated the 4th of July like I always have, by overdosing on hamburgers and ribs and watching fireworks. Are hamburgers, ribs, and fireworks also offensive? Should we cancel the cookout? For 3 years, I've taken every opportunity to expose the shallowness of Kaepernick's form of revolutionary resistance. Cap is a useful idiot being deployed as an agent of chaos. He is Heath Ledger's version of the Joker from the Dark Knight movie. Cap is a dog chasing cars. He wouldn't know what to do with one if he caught it. He's a wrench in the gears. His purpose is to introduce a little anarchy, to upset the established order and make everything chaos. By responding to his nonsense, I'm helping him accomplish his goal. At this point, there's no convincing Kaepernick supporters that he's a fraud. They don't care. They believe his intentions are good and the soundness of his strategy is irrelevant. That's my entire problem with internet activists. They have no strategy, just complaints. Is complaining activism or is it complaining? Maybe your nagging spouse is an activist, not a nagging spouse. But I have to exit the Kaepernick hamster wheel. We all should muster the courage to ignore the agents of chaos who make good people of all races debate irrelevant crap. The Betsy Ross flag debate should be filed in the same dumpster as the debate over who gets to pee at Starbucks without buying a drink. This chaos is orchestrated and executed by people who want us in a constant cycle of discord over the inconsequential so that we never address our real problem. Kaepernick has no idea he's being used. He believes a flag on the heel of a tennis shoe is the equivalent of being forced by law to sit on the back of the bus. If I ran a shoe company built on slave labor in a foreign country, I'd want my celebrity athletes complaining about Betsy Ross and comparing graffiti on a Brentwood mansion to the assassination of Emmett Till. I'd want guys like me debating the foolishness on national TV. I'm kicking my Cap addiction. More speak for yourself after this.
All right.
Oh, Whitlock.
All right, so now let's digest that, because Whitlock took the gloves off in that clip. I mean, he called Colin Kaepernick a dog.
Chasing a car.
He called him a sellout, basically. He called him an anarchist. He called him basically everything you can without actually using curse words.
Yeah, I found it quite amusing that the whole part of this argument was to ignore Colin Kaepernick, and then he just put him on a bigger platform. I thought it was pretty genius. You came in talking about how you need to ignore him and you're going to leave him alone. He went on this beautiful soliloquy about how we should leave him alone. That was pretty good. I got to give Whitlock his props for that. That was smart, brother.
Well, he did spin it.
He spent it quite well. I got to give. That was smart.
He did spin it quite well. And look, I understand what Jason Whitlock is trying to say here. Because when I first heard about it, I'm like Whitlock. I'm eating hamburgers. I'm enjoying the 4th of July, you know, getting ready for the 4th of July. And I'm like, wait a minute, a shoe?
And I'm going to be honest, Josh, as a black man, I've never heard of the Betsy Ross flag. That was news to me, too.
Well,
I didn't know anything about it.
Here's the insanity of this situation.
And it still didn't bother me. I'm just.
Sure.
Because I don't know anything about it. You can call me ignorant of the subject, but that was news to me.
Well, here's the insanity of this situation. And I think here is what Jason Whitlock, and he's not the only one that is kind of getting fed up with the antics of Colin Kaepernick, in that he used his platform, because Nike signed him to what, a $10, $20 million deal. They had a commercial of him during the Super Bowl, which I thought the commercial was very good.
I'm trying to figure out what exactly does he do for Nike. Like, is he – I know he's – are they paying activists now? Because after the commercial, I didn't see or hear anything from Cap or Nike.
Well, and that's the point that Whitlock makes is, where is this guy? Nike's paying him all this money, but yet nobody's – he's not out in the public. He's not leading demonstrations. He tweets very controversial political stuff. I mean, literally after this stuff happened with the shoe, he then tweeted out how basically the 4th of July – as a national holiday, he said two things. That the 4th of July is an offensive holiday, number one. And then the second thing is, he said that America is the worst country in the world. Now, how can that be when you're making millions of dollars in this country? To say, and look, whether you agree with the guy or not, he's got the freedom to say whatever he wants. That's what makes our country great. Me personally, I don't agree with the guy. I think he's got a further political agenda. I'm not going to get in on it on this show. This is a sports talk show. But the thing is, he actually made himself look stupid by doing this situation over the Betsy Ross American flag, because President Obama had two of them hanging at both of his inaugurations. Mm. Two of them.
And anybody, follow my sports coach on Twitter. If you know anything about this Betsy Ross flag situation, tweet me.
Absolutely.
I would love to be educated about it. I just don't know, so I can't really give a strong take on it because I don't know. I'm just being honest here.
Well, the premise of what Kaepernick's offense is towards the Betsy Ross flag is he made a very generalized statement to Nike that flag is offensive to black people because it was the flag of the United States during the 1700s that flew over the country when slavery was legal. So he said that because it's about, and I'll have to go back and look, but he took it way to the extreme because, again, Barack Obama had two giant Betsy Ross flags hanging at his inauguration, and nobody said anything. It was not a big deal. But it's amazing how if you put an emblem on a shoe and somebody has a problem with the shoe, it's the end of the world. But the president of the greatest country in the world can hang it at his inauguration and nobody says anything.
Yeah, I've never heard anything about this flag until the shoe situation with Nike.
And the other reason I brought this up, especially while you're here, is because it goes with the premise of the podcast of sports and what?
Culture.
Sports and culture.
Absolutely.
And if this thing educates people and gets them to talking about what is proper and right history, then I say great. Because the truth of the matter is, right now, there's a lot of ignorance in the world. There's a lot of ignorance in this country, whether it's sports or anything else, because people are going on what they see on 100 and, what is it up to now, 200 characters on Twitter? Oh, that must be true. Because somebody tweeted it out, that must be true. Nobody does the research to find it out.
And I'm just going to throw this out, and I'm not taking anybody's sides of the argument here, but I just feel like, you know, if you're going to be upset at that, with the flag being on a Nike shoe and maybe protesting to take it down, do you not see anything wrong with what Nike is doing with the sweatshops overseas?
That's the exact point that Jason Whitlock made. And I'm glad Whitlock, on this particular subject, I actually agree with Whitlock. Now, there's not a whole lot I ever agree with him on, but on this particular one, I agree with him. Because if you are really concerned about human rights and you are really concerned about the exploitation of people, you should be more mad at Phil Knight and the owners of Nike that have their shoes made in third world countries where they've got kids 10, 11, 12 years old working 15 hours a day for $2 a day.
Yeah. Now, at the end of the day, I mean, and I apologize for anybody who's offended by the flag that actually knew the, you know, the history behind it. But it's on a shoe. You can choose to either buy the shoe or not buy the shoe. I don't think it'll be everywhere, but we'll get back to it next
time. And we'll discuss that in the next segment. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate. We went a little long in that segment. This is Straight Up with Sturge with Coach Josh Phillips, along with Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast, My Sports and Culture. This is a short segment here. We've got to make up. We went a little long in the previous segment. But putting a bow on this thing, it seems that, you know, I kind of get a sense whether you're black, white, whatever, doesn't really matter in my opinion, that people are ready to move on with this as Americans. And are ready to get back to the business of, okay, what do we all need to do to further the cause that we all believe in this country, that it's the greatest country in the world. There's opportunities here that nowhere else can you find them, and that literally you can start out broke and become a multimillionaire. And that transcends anything. And again, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. Are we perfect? Absolutely not. Do we have things that we got to work on? Yes. Have we come a long way? Without question. I mean, without question. Things are gradually and over time becoming better and better and better, but we're still trying to figure out our way through this world. Tyler?
I mean, to be honest, I couldn't say it better myself. This is one of the greatest countries, if not the greatest country in the world. For the fact that you can become nothing to something. That's why people come over here.
That's right. That's exactly right. So, you know, I understand a lot of people are tired of talking about the whole Kaepernick situation going back, to the NFL situation. And, look, I get it. But at some point we've kind of got to get back to disagreeing respectfully. You know, that if you want the freedoms that you want, you've got to give other people their freedom, whether you agree with them or not, and still be able to shake hands at the end of the day and say, hey, I respectfully disagree with your point of view, but hey, it's free. I've got my opinion. I've got the freedom to say it. So do you. And let's move on through life. And I think once we get back to that, then things will be a lot better on. But when we start into this next segment, I know we're getting ready to go out again. We're going to jump into this Kawhi thing because, as Tyler was saying at the beginning, it seems that Kawhi is now down to two teams, whether he's going to stay at home with Toronto or whether he's going to go on to L.A. He was wanting a long-term deal, and what would be the best fit for him, because there's a lot of moving parts. When you sign that long-term deal, there's other incentives that are involved in that. And which city would be the best? Tyler and I will talk about that after this break. Welcome back to Straight Up with Sturge on this Friday, July the 5th, 2019 edition. I am Josh Phillips, sitting in for the vacationing Mark Sturgis. Along with me in studio today is Tyler Butler of the BS Podcast, along with Josh over there on the board doing a great job. Quickly before the top of the hour break, L.A. or Toronto, TB, where does Kawhi land here in the next few days?
Oh, my goodness. My gut say Toronto. All the reports are pointing towards L.A., but all season long, I've followed this story as closely as I could. And all I was hearing the entire season was he wanted to stay in Toronto, but his number one factor was he wanted to be on a championship contender team. After the Raptors won a championship, that totally changed everything. he was supposed to be signing a contract right then and there. But then, of course, the Lakers freed up cap room after that AD trade. And now he has a decision to make. But I was also hearing that he was never interested in joining LeBron. So I don't know what changed other than the meeting with Magic. Came out, of course, LeBron told Kawhi.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
He would be the third fiddle as in himself. He would play the point guard, and the offense would be built around Kawhi and AD, and that seemed to entice him. And I don't want to confirm this story, but I'm just reporting exactly what I heard. A couple of weeks ago, I was told that him and his girlfriend was actually looking at schools for his kids. Last time we heard a report like that, it was LeBron's wife was looking for schools for their kids, and next thing you know, LeBron was at L.A. Laker. So I don't want to say that's for fact. That's just what I hear on the back channels. If I go with my gut, I'm going to say he's going to stay with the Raptors, try to sign this long-term max deal. I would think he would go 2 years so he could qualify for the Supermax once he hit that 10-year threshold. But it's Kawhi Leonard, man. You do not know.
See, I've gone back and forth with this, and I mean, how do you tell the Lakers no?
How do you tell the Raptors no? Look what all they've done for him. They flew up his medical staff. They put him on the time management where he missed X amount of games per his request. They built a team around him. They won a championship. Do you just feel like, hey, I've obliged to my contract obligations? I was traded here. I didn't want to come here. Now I'm going to go where I really want to go. Or do you stay with your brotherhood that you just won a championship with? And you're in the East. The East, really only one team got better, which is Philly. KD is going to be out the whole next year. So if you come back, you're almost guaranteed to go back to the Eastern Conference Finals. How do you leave that?
Yeah, because the other thing is, I think the Warriors are done.
I don't.
I think they're done.
A lot of people are saying that. I've heard that the Warriors won't make the playoffs next year.
That's crazy. They're too good not to make the playoffs. That's a little bit out there. But I mean, think about it. They didn't have KD. Now they're not going to have KD ever.
Right.
And you couldn't beat a one man band from Canada.
Here's the thing with the Warriors. Now keep in mind, Klay was battling injuries, and he did go down, and which I believe if he would have stayed, they would have won that game. And who knows what would have happened in game 7. I think people keep forgetting when KD wasn't on this team, they won 73 games.
Right.
With the exact same core, minus KD, minus Iguodala. If they shore up that bench, which was their number one weakness, and get back to defense, I don't see how the Warriors aren't at least in contention the following year. They're going to have to re-sign Draymond, though.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing that I think the allure of Kawhi to L.A. has is that if you team him up with LeBron and AD, it all assures you that the Warriors will become insignificant.
You know what? I'm going to throw out a nugget that I haven't heard anybody say, but I know this to be a fact. Guess who's best friends with Stephen Curry?
Go ahead.
And guess who just happened to be a free agent in 2021?
Go ahead.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. You telling me if the Milwaukee Bucks don't win a championship within the next 2 years and don't sign Giannis to a Supermax, if Golden State, let's say they decide to let Draymond walk, or Draymond take a pay cut and they bring Giannis over like they bought over KD. What happens then? I guess we'll talk about it on next break.
It won't matter. The Lakers would sweep them. This is Straight Up with Sturge at ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.